Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Nationally syndicated across the country on the BizTalk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. How about them Cowboys? We go inside the huddle of America's team and Jerry's world. That's tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Gary Myers has authored three prior books, The Catch, a look at the iconic 1981 NFC Championship game between the Cowboys and the Niners, Coaching Confidential, for which he was a guest on this show, which details the pressures of being an NFL head coach, and the New York Times bestseller, Brady versus Manning. Gary's been covering the NFL since 1978. He's a contributor to The Athletic. He's a football talk show host on WFAN New York City, and was the Cowboys beat writer for the Dallas Morning News. He's a voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well. And this book is just out. It's How About Them Cowboys, Inside the Huddle with the Stars and Legends of America's Team. Welcome back, Gary.
How are you doing today, Jim?
And I wanted to just start off by, since Ernie Paladino covered the Giants for 25 years, introduced us, say a brief remembrance. He recently passed away, tragic story. And I was with him exactly one year to the day when he died. And it was kind of eerie because after lunch at Smith & Wolensky, I'm going to walk back to Grand Central. He's going back to Sloan Memorial where he'd just come from some treatment to get his car. And he asked me to go with him, and he would drive me to the Grand Central. And I said, well, it's the opposite direction of where I'm going. So I go with him. We end up having to take a bus from one parking lot to another parking lot before we turn around and go back. So it made no sense. But he wanted to talk, and he talked about Coughlin and his ethics and everything. It was a kind of thing. And then for some weird reason, when I said goodbye to get out of the car, which, by the way, was several blocks from the station still, mm-hmm. I put my arm on his cheek and said goodbye. And that was the last time I saw him, which I've never done with a guy before.
He was a wonderful guy, and I knew him for a very long time. And really, truly one of those people that you meet in life that nobody ever has anything bad to say about him. I mean, everybody really liked Ernie, and it's really true when you say about him, he was gone much too soon. I mean, he was just full of life and just, you know, fun to be around. So I share in your feelings about him, and it's just very sad.
Yeah, very humble guy, too, even though he'd made such a big name for himself. All right, well, we're obviously here to talk about the Cowboys, but I hate to do this to you. I got to start off with my Giants. Manning, OBJ, Saquon, what the heck's wrong with them? They're like the worst team in football now.
Yeah, I mean, they're right there in the battle for the number one draft pick in next April. I have to admit I'm really surprised at how bad they've been. Yeah. I didn't think they were going to be necessarily a playoff contender, although the NFC East isn't very good this season, but mm-hmm. I didn't think that they were going to, you know, be right there as one of the worst teams in the league. They attempted to do a rebuild on the fly here and stay competitive and contend while trying to turn over the roster and build the team back up around Eli, a 37-year-old quarterback, and by midway of the season, they gave up on that, and they start trading away some players. And I think it's all the second half of the season now is really just to find out who's on the roster that they think can help them win in the future. And it's only a matter of time, I believe, before Eli finds his way to the bench.
Do you they replace McAdoo, they replace Reese with Shurmur and Gelman. Is that the right move still long term?
Well, McAdoo appeared to be over his head in his second year, although he won 11 games in his first year.
Yeah.
So I could never really get a good read on him. Jim, I thought, his rookie year to win 11 games, that he would just get better, but he got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the season, I mean, they fired him after 12 games, and not to even make it through his entire second season, I was kind of surprised it deteriorated that quickly, but ultimately it was probably the right move. Jerry Reese, his drafts got the Giants in this position, so his departure was probably a couple of years overdue. Whether Gettleman and Shurmur are the right ones, we'll find out. I mean, there's been nothing to indicate so far that they're going to be able to get this turned around.
All right, we've got this guy, Jerry Jones, who's revolutionized the NFL, basically, but has not been a great GM. I guess talk a little bit. He bought the team for $154 million, which sounds like nothing, but I think in the book you say no team had ever gone for over $100 million, now worth $5 billion. Talk about him taking it over.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing, Jim, is that in the weeks and months leading up to his Hall of Fame induction, Jerry got very emotional talking about that period of time in his life, because he really, I wouldn't say he scraped together pennies, but he scraped together his last million to be able to buy the team and really put himself on the line to purchase a team that was losing $1 million a month.
Yeah, wow.
People don't realize that, you know, as flashy as the Cowboys were and America's team and all that stuff, it was never a moneymaker because they didn't run it like a true business. They had absentee ownership pretty much, and Tex Schramm, who was the president and GM, operated the team like it was his own, although it wasn't his money. So everything was first class, and they didn't really pay attention to the bottom line. So Jerry took over an operation that had not been successful financially, and then it was doing really poorly on the field. They were 3-13 the year before he bought them. And so when he talked about that period of time in his life, and during my three different sessions with him for this book, and it totaled 5 hours, you know, this came up a few times, and he genuinely had tears in his eyes. It was not, I mean, I was just really surprised. And he told me that he even asked his doctor why he got so emotional talking about that time. And it was 29 years ago. And his doctor said, you went through a very traumatic period because you risked everything you had. And, I mean, it's amazing where the team was back then, at least financially and the way they operated, to where they are all these years later in 2018.
It's worth just, $5 billion.
It's just run completely differently. I mean, they look to sponsor and get up and advertise and basically every chair that's in the office.
You know, let me ask you about that. He essentially broke the socialism of the NFL, which refers to revenue sharing, which allows Green Bay to compete within the New York market. That ultimately proved a good thing, even though it looked very selfish. How do you come out?
Well, I mean, the backbone of the league, the foundation of the league, is really based on them sharing the TV money.
Yeah.
And the Giants were, you know, at the forefront of that when they decided to do that in the early 60s because, you know, certainly in the biggest market in the country, they could have gotten more money and demanded more money than the other teams. But, you know, Wellington Mara knew that in order for the NFL to really succeed, they had to be on somewhat of a level playing field financially. But Jerry felt they carried that too far and that teams were prohibited from making their own sponsorship deals when the league had its own deals with, you know, soft drink companies and beers and et cetera. So he went about getting sponsorships for the stadium, which he felt, you know, didn't violate the league rules because the stadium was a separate entity. And, you know, the league and Jerry wound up suing each other, and they settled, you know, with no money, exchanging hands. But Jerry basically won that fight and then taught the other owners how to do it. And so I like to say that he turned multimillionaires into multibillionaires.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Giants, I keep using the Giants as an example, but Wellington Mara had some really nasty things to say. I mean, I remember the first game of the 95 season, Giants were opening at home against the Cowboys, and Jerry, right before kickoff, they distribute a press release in the press box announcing his partnership with Nike, and then Jerry is walking across the field with Phil Knight from Nike right before kickoff, and they're basically sticking it in the NFL's face. And but you know, ultimately, you know, he won that battle, and then he's in the Hall of Fame because of, you know, his business acumen. And that was the turning point in 95 when he got Nike and Pepsi and some other companies, you know, sponsorships at Texas Stadium. Then all the teams started doing that.
In fact, as we finish this segment, I think this socialism is the reason the NFL has beaten Major League Baseball so badly over time with the parity. This, you're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell, the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. You can go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, listen over the internet to the stream, and access our podcast. We'll talk Jimmy and Jerry when we get back.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive exclusive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back with leading NFL analyst, former Cowboys beat reporter Gary Myers. All right, I want to talk about Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson, and unbelievable turnaround from 1-13 to, I think, a Super Bowl in the fourth year. How many Super Bowls could they have won, and how could they have let egos destroy them, or was Jimmy burnt out?
I really think that if Jimmy had stayed, you know, and he left after winning back-to-back Super Bowls, the following year they got to the NFC Championship game with Barry Switzer, and the year after that they won the Super Bowl again. So they were the first team to win 3 out of 4, and it was basically all with Jimmy's players that Barry got to that championship game and won the Super Bowl. I really think, Jim, that they would have won 4 in a row. Now, that's around when free agency hit. So the Cowboys were getting picked apart, as what happens with the best teams. But he was a better personnel guy than he was even as a coach, and he was a great coach.
Interesting.
So I really think he would have been able to replenish the roster and not rebuild it, but just keep it going, even as they were losing some of their better players to free agency, because he just would replace them with younger and cheaper players that, because he was so good at picking the players, would probably have been just as good as the guys he was losing. So I really think it could have kept going for a while. And I know that the people in Dallas feel that way, and certainly, you know, many of the players that were on that team, you know, most prominently, you know, Troy Aikman. I don't think Troy's ever forgiven Jimmy for leaving, and he felt that. Probably the most compelling quote I have in the book is a few years ago, Jimmy and Troy were having a beer together, and Troy said to Jimmy, you know, we could have been Brady and Belichick.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. And it's true, they could have set the bar so high that Brady and Belichick never could have reached it.
And you know something interesting? I remember that time that Troy signed a longer-term contract and Jimmy had a 10-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
And almost right after that happened, Jimmy was saying, oh, I don't know why he assumes I'm going to be here.
So, yeah, now I don't quite remember that, but you're probably right. I'm sure you're right. But you know, Troy was an icon in Dallas, and he didn't want to go anywhere. I mean, that was a perfect place for him to be.
Yeah.
If you remember, Troy started off at Oklahoma, and Switzer recruited him. And Jimmy had recruited him to Miami, but he decides to go to Oklahoma instead. Switzer changed his offense from a wishbone to accommodate Troy, who had a tremendous arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then Troy broke his leg. The offense went back to being a wishbone, and Troy transferred to UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he just didn't enjoy Switzer. So when it turned out Switzer was the coach that Jerry picked to replace Jimmy, Troy was beside himself.
In fact, let me ask you that right there. Here you talk about ego. Jerry says that, you know, 500 coaches could have won with that team, and he comes up with Switzer, Dave Campo, Wade Phillips, who could only be a coordinator apparently, and Jason Garrett. I mean, that's mediocrity, and nothing came out of it.
Yeah, and Parcells in the middle of that.
Good point.
Well, I mean, he did prove that almost any of 500 coaches could have won with Jimmy's talent, with the talent that Jimmy left behind, because Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. And if Barry could have done it, you know, I'm not going to say there's 499 others, but, you know, Barry's work ethic wasn't really suited for the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy turned over a team where its best players were its young players, and they were all just hitting the prime of their careers. So it would have taken a lot to screw it up during those first couple of years after Johnson left. But certainly they didn't have the same discipline on the field and in the front office. They didn't have the talent evaluators to replace the players they were losing in free agency. So, you know, it took a little while, you know, 3-4 years, but, you know, the Cowboys came right back to the pack, and they haven't really recovered.
Why is Jason Garrett, I think you say he has one playoff win in 7 years. His record is essentially 500. Why has he survived?
I think that's the million-dollar question, or maybe the $5 million question in Dallas. Jerry is just very comfortable with him. I mean, Jason's a good guy. He's a pretty good coach. He's not a great coach. And he lets Jerry be Jerry. And by that I mean Jerry sits in on the staff meetings on Monday mornings. Jason sits there and reviews, you know, what happened the day before with his staff. And I don't know that that happens anywhere else in the NFL where the owner is sitting in on the coaching staff meetings. And Jerry still has the title of general manager, and so and Jason never says a word about it. And I think some other coaches of greater stature might have complained about the owner, you know, not being qualified to be the general manager of the team. So they're comfortable with each other. I get the sense, though, that if the second half of the season doesn't go well, especially if they gave a first-round pick a couple weeks ago to get Amari Cooper, that if they don't get this thing turned around and make the playoffs, this could be the time that he makes a change. I don't know that for sure, but I just kind of get that sense a little bit.
Okay, I want to go backwards now, and you happened to be right there, even in his office, when Landry was fired.
Well, I wasn't actually there when he got fired. That happened the night before that I sat in his office. He was at a golf course in Austin where he had a vacation home, and the rumors had been out there for a couple of days that Jerry Jones was buying the team and that he was going to hire Jimmy Johnson to be his coach, and that Landry was out, and eventually Tex Schramm and Gil Brandt were going to be out, and those were the three that had been with the Cowboys, you know, since the very beginning in 1960. So the next morning, the race was on in Dallas to find Landry, and we just figured he'd be coming back from Austin early, that he wasn't going to stay the whole weekend. So first I went to an airport in Addison, which is a suburb of Dallas, and it had, you know, the smaller Tom flew his own plane, by the way. So he would fly in and out of Addison. So I went there first and hung out at the airport, and there was no sign of Tom. So I went to his house and sat there for about an hour, and there was no movement in the house and no cars in or out of the driveway. And so I went out to Valley Ranch, which is where the Cowboys used to have their offices in Irving. And I pulled up there. And I saw his car in his assigned spot. So I'm going, I can't believe he'd already be cleaning out his office. So, you know, in those days, we, as the media had full access to the Cowboys facility, even on a Sunday morning, we punched in the key code, and it was, we always remembered it as being Herschel Walker, Roger Staubach, 3412 was the code in those days. And So I walked right in the building. I was able to get into the coaching area because once you're in the building, there was nothing really stopping you. And Tom was sitting in his office, and the door was open a little bit, and his secretary was sitting out there, and she goes, you know, Coach Landry's not available. And he heard my voice, and there was a writer from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram with me as well. He was doing the same thing I was doing. And Tom heard our voices, and he said, no, they can come in. So we sat with him for probably about, I would say, an hour. He's sitting there, and packing up his office into cardboard boxes like anybody would do after they just lost the job. And he just said, you know, if I knew I had so much stuff, I would have done this years ago. And, I mean, I felt like I was sitting on NFL history right there, watching this iconic figure who had been the only coach the Cowboys ever had, you know, pack up his stuff and get ready to move out.
We'll be back with the third segment, The Odd Couple, Jerry and Bill Parcells.
You like business content? I mean, if you didn't like business content, you wouldn't be listening to this show, right? What if I can give you even more of what you like? Now, we've never met, but I'm willing to bet you are very busy. Between your work, family, and outside commitments, this little car ride is your time to catch up on your favorite show. But do you always get to tune in? Exactly. Well, now there's a business club with you in mind. BizVod is the place for business videos on demand. We have partnered with this show to provide you more of the content you like. The best part? It's all on demand. That means you can log in anytime from any device and watch shows that answer all of your business questions. For a limited time, you can try it for free for 30 days. Simply go to bizvod.com and enter promo code radio. That's BIZVOD.com, promo code radio.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back with Gary Myers, author of How About Them Cowboys, Inside the Huddle with the Stars and Legends. And, you know, I play golf. I'm going to play golf today, in fact, in Saratoga National. And right next to my locker is Bill Parcells' locker. Although I tend to go on weekends, and he's there during the week mainly, so I don't see him that much. But I'm obviously a huge fan. I don't understand how these guys ever got along, so you're going to tell us that. And even at the beginning, Jerry couldn't pronounce his name. He called them Parcells.
That's right. And this time of the year, you probably will not see Bill up in Saratoga because he spends this time of the year and through the winter in Florida.
With Belichick.
Well, yeah. Belichick, you know, it's that's a funny story, is that Bill has since moved within Jupiter, Florida. That's where they lived. They lived in the same apartment building for many years, just a couple floors apart. And then Bill probably moved to a bigger house because he spends much more time there than Belichick does. But isn't it kind of funny that they wound up in the same building?
It is, and they didn't talk for a long time.
I know.
So how did Parcells and Jerry Jones ever get along?
Well, it was a marriage of convenience where they needed each other. In 2003, Bill had the itch to get back into coaching, and Jerry, after three straight seasons of 5-11 with Dave Campo, was really tired of losing. And in 2004, he knew he had a stadium bond vote coming up in Arlington for $325 million. And from what I remember back then, it was not a given that it was going to pass because of all the losing that was going on. And now, as it turns out, he got $325 million, but that was supposed to represent 50% of the construction costs. As it turns out, it represented 25% of the construction costs because the stadium wound up costing $1.3 billion. But, you know, Bill got him into the playoffs the first year, and the vote passed the next year. So, and Jerry was very upfront with Bill when he hired him that I need to turn this thing around quickly. I know that's what you do. I need to get a positive feeling back around the team so this vote will pass because I want to build a new stadium. And he paid Bill. It was a $17 million contract over 4 years, which is an awful lot of money. It would probably be a little bit more if it happened today, but back then it was right at the top of the chart among coaches. And they really enjoyed each other. They were about the same age at the same point in life. They both desperately wanted to win. And they got along really well.
What is it with Parcells' psyche that he can't stay? He left the Giants after Super Bowl. There were health issues there, but he left the Pats and the Cowboys right before they would have been dynasties that he built.
Yeah, I think he regrets both decisions. The circumstances were different. You're right. He left the Giants because of health issues, and he did have several procedures on his heart.
Yeah.
But he didn't say that at the time when he left in May of 91. He didn't use health as the reason, so it was a mystery for a while about, you know, what was really going on in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
With New England, he did not like Robert Kraft, and felt he was intruding on his domain there you know, because Bill had been there before Kraft bought the team and really was running the team as if he was the owner. And then Kraft started taking away some of Bill's, even his football decision-making responsibilities. But he had built a really good young team there and had gone to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots, I mean to the Packers, in his final year, a game they easily could have won. And I think that they had some Super Bowls in them with Bledsoe as the quarterback if Bill had remained as the coach. And he has said that he wished he had more patience with Kraft, because Kraft turned out to be a great owner. And then in Dallas, they lost that really difficult playoff game where Tony Romo dropped the snap in Seattle, and Bill made an emotional decision soon after the season was over that he didn't have the energy to gear it up again to go through the entire process of the off season and the draft and the workouts and the OTAs and the mini camps and training camp and the meetings and the practices and the games, just to try to get back to that spot where Romo dropped the snap. I just don't have it in me. But he has told me that if he waited a little bit longer, he would have decided to stay, but he felt he owed it to Jerry to make a quick decision, because if he wasn't going to stay, he wanted Jerry to be able to hire a coach that he wanted rather than waiting a month where a lot of the best coaches would have been off the market. I think it was a short-sighted decision by Bill, and Jerry very much wanted him to stay. And if you remember, in 2007, which was the first year Bill was not there, the Cowboys had a 13-3 record.
Yeah.
They were the best team in the NFC.
Right, and then it came down to earth, just like when Jimmy left.
Right. And they lost their first-round playoff game to the Giants, who went on to win the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Now, I'm not saying the Cowboys would have beaten the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but I think they would have gotten to the Super Bowl had that season if Bill had remained. And it's great. One of the great what-ifs in Dallas is that they had this great coach in Parcells who had turned things around.
Yeah.
And they knew that going into the 2007 season, they had a really good team. But Bill was such a better coach than Wade Phillips, who really is just, you know, a really good defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He was never really a great head coach. And so they probably left at least one or two trophies on the table there when Bill left.
You know, I did not know this, and it really kind of did bother me that apparently Parcells did not mention George Young in his Hall of Fame induction speech. I also did not know that Miami paid him $16 million for that little outing, and he didn't even have to coach.
Yeah, and he was able to, when he went to work for Wayne Huizenga, and he had a clause in his contract that if Huizenga sold the team before Bill's contract was up, Bill can leave and collect whatever was left on his contract. So he stayed a little bit when Steve Ross bought the team, and then he left and got the rest of his money. Bill always found a way to get paid, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He loves money like we all do.
He's got some horses up in Saratoga.
Yeah, that's right.
Jerry and Roger Goodell, and he went after Goodell. Some of the owners threatened to throw him out of the league. I'd be interested to hear what your take on that. I also surprised you were fairly favorable, at least in my mind, on Goodell's values. And I look at him, and I'm just disgusted by the fact that they seem to have covered up the concussion issue, like the tobacco industry, and laid on domestic violence. Even the cheerleaders not making any money in that league when there's so much going around. But you say he's a good guy?
I've known Roger since the very early 80s when I was in Dallas, and he was just an intern in the PR department. It's hard just to blame the commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got medical advisors. They have trainers and doctors at every team. They have some of the best doctors in the country that are team doctors. That I think it was a collaborative effort in how they were very slow to recognize what a huge, huge problem the concussions were. So I wouldn't put it all on him, and I think he's done more now. I mean, it's a little late, but it certainly is benefiting today's players, you know, and thank goodness – you know, the same procedures the protocol isn't the same as it was, you know, years ago, where a player can suffer a concussion during a game and the doctor would come over to him on the sidelines, say, can count to five. He'd go 1, 2, 5, and go, okay, that's fine. You know, he'd skip the 3 and the 4 and they'd send him back in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, obviously. But
I think, Gary, I tell you, I don't think these guys realize the threat to the long term of the economics of this business. So, I mean, that $5 billion market value disappears if football goes the way of boxing.
Sure. I think we're a long way from that, but I certainly think that's it's headed in that direction. I think Rogers recognized that, and they put some really good protocols in place to try to protect the players. But players need to be protected from themselves also.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, there's no job security in the NFL, and that's why they try to get as much guaranteed money up front as they can, because they know if they sit out 2, 3, 4 weeks and somebody goes in and takes their place, that you can lose your job because of injury. So these guys have the warrior mentality. They don't tend to worry about the future, and there's been plenty of instances where players have tried to hide the fact that they're injured so they can stay on the field and protect their jobs. As far as the domestic violence is concerned, there's no doubt that Goodell screwed up, and it started with the Ray Rice one. That was the most public. I think he really regrets the initial discipline on Rice, and the league has come down now hard on guys who get involved in domestic violence, but I can't say too little too late, because it's not too late to increase the discipline, but certainly much too little for cases in the past. And again, you know, knowing Roger, I mean, he's married, he has twin daughters. I don't think that he was intentionally minimizing the way. I mean, the perception obviously is that he didn't discipline enough and didn't put enough emphasis on it. I don't think that came from personal views on how he felt about domestic violence.
All right. I have twin daughters, by the way, too. And final national segment coming up, we're going to do an NFL lightning round.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair, and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today, and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Have you written a book and want to get it published?
Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095.
Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So
if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3? A pill. Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
And our final national segment with Gary Miles, NFL expert, and it's always great to hear all of his insights. 24 years without a Super Bowl. Should the owner of the Cowboys have fired the GM by now? Oh, and by the way, the GM is the owner.
Yeah. I think if the GM was anybody but the owner, this particular owner for sure would have fired him a long time ago. But I will say this, and to Jerry's credit, that if he's completely outvoted...
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. I mean, he was the only one in the room that wanted Johnny Manziel, the only one. And he went to the mat trying to fight for him, and he couldn't get one other person to agree, and they took Zach Martin, which turned out to be obviously the correct
choice. Pretty good move.
He's not a dictator in there, although he really should. His major fault here is he should have had a general manager
Gary,
after Jimmy left.
Answer this rumor. Did he ever want to be the head coach?
I think so. Yeah.
Jesus.
I don't think he ever will be, but... Yeah, he always seemed down on the sidelines in the fourth quarter,
yes.
And I wouldn't be surprised at some point he was whispering plays into Jason Garrett's ear. You know, and you know, who knows, with all this wireless stuff going on now, he might even be doing that from his box up, you know, upstairs.
Can you maximize the business function and the football performance? Because it doesn't seem he's been able to do that.
No, I mean he's been unbelievable on the business side,
yes.
and not so on the football side. I think it's really too much for him to do, and I don't think he's got the background or the insight. He is more of a football guy than the other owners because he played,
right?
But I mean, that was an awful long time ago, and things have changed. And it's not easy to go out and identify talent and rank the players and all that stuff. He has good people around him. It's just he needs that one strong football voice.
Yeah.
That's not him.
Okay, let's do lightning round.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick, was he blackballed?
Yeah, I think he was. He has enough ability to play in the NFL. When you look around at some of the quarterbacks.
And you look at the Giants have nothing behind them right now.
Yeah, the Giants are about the last team that would ever sign him.
Yeah. Okay. What's the most overperforming team or teams right now to date this year?
You know, the Chiefs are always a really good regular season team, but then they fall apart in the postseason because we're in Andy Reid is a bad coach. I'll tell you one.
Andy Reid is a bad coach?
Let me say this.
Oh, bad playoff coach.
I'm sorry.
Got it.
Glad you caught that.
Wow.
He's a bad playoff coach.
Okay.
He's a great regular season coach. He's a bad playoff coach. You can always count on Andy to make a mistake and in a crucial spot in the postseason. I'd say the team that's maybe overachieving a little bit right now is Houston.
After a bad start, too.
Yeah, they had their 0-3 start. And because their two best players were coming off of, you know, serious injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Deshaun Watson with the ACL and J.J. Watt was just a list of injuries. But Watson, you know, took a little while for him to get back to where he was. And J.J. Watt's been a force all season. So I would say Houston.
I thought Cleveland had a shot at the start, but I guess when you're 3-36.
Yeah, I mean, they –
Okay, most underperforming team, is that the Giants?
Yeah, I would say that for sure.
All right, we've been moving to younger coaches. Who are the best younger coaches?
Well, I think there's one at the very top of the list, or maybe even two.
Okay.
Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, for sure. And Sean McVay is such a young guy. He's only like 32, 33 now. And just a really bright, mature guy who's able to command a room, even though a lot of the players are older than him.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Shanahan is just a really excellent coach.
That's interesting because he's obviously hasn't turned anything around there yet.
Well, he's Shanahan?
Yeah.
His quarterback got hurt this year.
Yeah, I know. Best NFL coach, Belichick?
Well, yeah, I think you'd have to say it's Belichick. I wouldn't say he's the most likable, but I think he's the best.
Well, who's the best young quarterback?
Well, there's a lot of good young ones in the league right now. But, you know, based on the first half of the season, you'd have to say it's Patrick Mahomes. It's just a dynamic talent. You know, you have a lot of good I like Carson Wentz. I like Jared Goff.
Darnold?
I think he's going to be very good. He's not there yet, obviously.
Yeah,
he's going through the natural growing pains that all rookie quarterbacks, no matter who you are, there's always a period of time where they look like that they're lost.
Is Todd Bowles a good coach?
I think he's a pretty good defensive coach. I don't think he's a good head coach.
All right. Now, Belichick's had some trouble having his proteges be successful. Will Matt Patricia be successful?
I have my doubts about that one, but it's too early to really make a judgment. It's the first time he's ever been a head coach at, you know, pretty much any level. And he has a lot of Belichick in him, which is a good and bad thing, because too many of these guys, and Eric Mangini is the best example.
Oh, yes, exactly.
They try to be Belichick when there really is only one Belichick.
And that's the thing, that Belichick was smart. He didn't try and be Parcells.
Well, he doesn't have the personality to be Parcells.
Right, but that's what Mangini did. He basically just tried to be even the same, you know, even everything about him. Josh McDaniel, does he know what he's doing wanting to succeed Belichick?
I think he'd have a lot better chance of having success if Brady would stick around for him. You know, this is a whole different discussion about who's more responsible, Belichick or Brady.
Yes.
But, you know, Josh did not do well in Denver.
Yeah, personality.
I think he's grown up a lot since then, and I think he'll do better the second time around, but we don't know who his quarterback is going to be. Unlikely to be Brady.
Is Gruden going to be successful in Oakland? Is he there to build, or is he just there for the brand to get into Vegas? I mean, he's been out of the game a long time.
Trading two of his best players before the, you know, one before the season, and Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, I think, has a chance, you know, with Dallas now to really get back to where he was in his first couple of years. I'm not sure what Gruden is doing. You think if it's for the brand's sake, you think they would have kept their best players?
Yeah, you know,
to be good going into Gruden, Las Vegas.
Gruden has always amazed me. He ran that quarterback camp. He's a quarterback girl. He's never been able to develop a quarterback in the NFL. He gives up on him too soon. Mm-hmm. Last question, Nick. Who's the next big turnaround right now? My Chicago Bears I grew up with?
You know, I like the Bears. Trubisky hasn't been as quick to develop as say, you know, Mahomes or Watson, and it's so much it will depend on how he plays. But, you know, their defense is real good. Let me see if I can give you a different team. No, I just don't want to agree with you on that.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head, I think the Chargers are a team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't call them a turnaround team because they have a 37 or 38-year-old quarterback. But I would. How about this? I'll say next year, assuming Garoppolo comes back healthy, that I thought the 49ers were going to be good this year. So if Garoppolo can get back to where he was, and he's just he doesn't have a lot of experience. He's got a huge contract, but I think the Niners have a chance.
And you
to,
like and you like Shanahan. He did not name the New York Jets for our producer here. Thanks to
Gary. I'm sorry. In all honesty, I really think they need to change the coach before I can think they're going to be contender.
That's what I've been feeling. Thanks to Gary Myers. The book is How About Them Cowboys Inside the Huddle with the Stars and Legends of America's Team. And there's so much stuff in here. We're going to have him back on. But go read the whole book. It's been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Thanks to Gary for a second time coming on. Thanks to our national audience. We'll see everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.